720 WGN, it's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our next guest, his book is entitled Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. He'll have a book signing January 10th at the bookseller in Lincoln Square. And where is the second one?
The second one is tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Chicago Academy for the Arts at 1010 West Chicago.
Got it. Dr. John Duffy is here. It's great to see you.
Great to see you, Pete.
You have great hair. You need to do more TV.
I'll work on it. But you've got pretty fabulous hair yourself.
It's like an SOS pad, man. It's just so hard to maintain. All right. I have a 14-year-old. I have a million questions.
Let's get started.
First of all, you look at me and say, wow, he's a great parent.
Of course I do, Pete.
What are the first things that you can tell if a person's a good parent or a bad parent?
I can tell right away when a family comes in and where they sit in the room. Like, this is an old
non-verbal
therapy.
Non-verbal communication. Sure.
Yeah. So
right.
If the kid sits between mom and dad,
okay,
and there's equidistant between them, I feel like, okay, we have something going here. They're not absolutely in tatters in terms of connection.
What about touching? Touching shoulders, backs, arms, things like that.
It depends on how you read it. So sometimes mom or dad will touch in order to kind of control the situation. You know what I mean? Like kind of like I've got my hand on you. I've got my eyes on you. I'm watching you.
Oh.
So we're going to be good for the therapist.
Wow.
So I know I have something to work through in that regard. Yeah.
We were in church today and the three of us sit very close together. And I just, you know, I like to touch people. So my son was sitting next to me and I just, you know, rubbed his shoulder just to let him know that I'm here.
Oh, that's a good read.
Is that okay?
I'd be very happy with that. Yes.
I know he's going to get sick of it one of these days and tell me, Dad, quit touching me. But, you know, I'm a toucher.
He might surprise you, too. He might just hang in there. I've got a 24-year-old who still hugs me every time I see him.
Biggest problems with teens today. What is it?
So teens are inundated today, and they don't remember a time when they weren't. They're overwhelmed with their own emotions, social media, academic, social pressures, pressures from mom and dad, this idea that, man, my future, I don't see a path to success for myself, so I'm going to hang out and work Instagram, or I'm going to play Fortnite until I perfect that, because I can't think big picture here. It's just that that's too overwhelming.
I felt like I had a lot of pressure when I was in high school. My dad said to me junior year of high school, okay, you're going to go to college and you're going to pay for it yourself.
Yep.
And you can go to Bradley, because I had four siblings ahead of me. I get a discount if I went to Bradley, and I had to go to a junior college because I was paying for it. So I went a few years to a junior college and finished at Bradley.
Got it. So you went for the McMurray volume discount.
I did.
Yep.
Yes.
And right. So that's a whole lot of pressure. But I would imagine that's pressure where you could see a path toward fulfilling it. It might have taken a ton of work.
Yeah.
But you could figure it out.
Right.
Now kids look at their lives and they're not sure, even if I get into the great college, they're not sure they're going to be able to figure it out. They're not sure that adulthood is going to work out for them.
So parents and grandparents are listening right now. How do we walk them through that? How do we get them and say, everything's going to be okay, let's focus on this, this, and this. Let's not look at the big picture.
So two things. First off, focus on the connection with your kids. The way you do that is to spend a little bit of time focusing on what you need them to be doing, what they're doing wrong, and a whole lot of time on what you admire about them, what you love about them, even the weird thing about them that doesn't show up on the ACT, right? They're really sarcastic. They're good at graffiti. They're funny. Whatever it is, celebrate that stuff, because it doesn't get celebrated anywhere else.
Right.
And
yeah.
then you can parent. Then you've got a little bit of leverage, and you can say, hey, another 20 minutes of homework might net you a full letter grade up. So why don't we be strategic about this and make sure you get where you want to go?
My family hates when I do this, but I called a family meeting tonight because he starts school again on Tuesday.
Yep.
I'm like, let's work out our goals. Give me three of your goals for next semester. What do you want to do? What grades do you want to bring up? How can we tackle that?
Yeah.
And of course, I put it on a group text, and I hear this from my wife and my son. Oh, we got another family meeting. Dad wants to get together and figure this out. But is that a good way to do it?
It's a good way to do it. And I suspect that you bring some humor to the family meeting as well as an agenda, right?
Yes.
And so if you do that and it's not just grave and it feels like everybody's part of it, that makes a big difference. So if your 14-year-old guy feels like, okay, my dad is listening to me and I have a voice in this. He's not just dictating to me what I have to do.
Right.
He's saying, what do you want to do and how are we going to get there? If you play it up that way, then you're going to get somewhere. If your kid has a voice and really feels like he does, that makes a huge difference in parenting.
Is it negotiation with a teenager?
It's discussion and negotiation.
Okay.
So whereas our parents had this ability to kind of lord things down on us, they could impart wisdom. Now you've got to work with kids because they know a lot. Mm-hmm. Think about how much access your guy has to the internet. Right,
right.
All sorts of data and information. He knows more than we do in a lot of ways. So we need to, in a way, learn from him just as much as he learns from us.
Oh, jeez. Parenting, the book is called Parenting, the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. Dr. John Duffy is here. How do we get past Xbox and the phone and all of social media?
So, right. So what we tend to do is we tend to lecture about this, right? Hey, I've read research. This isn't good for you. You can't spend more than a couple hours a day on it. This hardly ever works. So parents get frustrated like crazy, right?
And here's the problem. My wife, of course, she's crazy. She'll be reading an article. Oh, my God, if he spends more than 3 hours on his phone, his eyes are going to go bad and he's going to be a crazy kid. I'm like, right. Sarah, you got to dial it down.
Got to dial that down.
Yeah, right. We're okay.
And kids aren't going to listen to that alarm.
No.
I mean, we were bulletproof when we were kids, and kids now will not buy into the research, right? So
right.
There's an awful lot saying cite the research to your kids. I strongly encourage you not to do that. But keep your kid busy. Have him engaged in a few things, right? Have him moving. Have him doing something athletic, something musical, something, involved in a few things so that all the video game stuff and the screen stuff and the vaping and the juuling, all this stuff falls into the margins. And at least that's not the main part of his life. Mm-hmm. And that's really a great goal now.
So after school in high school, they have to have something. They just can't wander around. My son plays basketball. Thank God for practice. They have it 4 times a week, which is great. And he's got to come home and he's got to study. So he's got structure.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of kids that aren't playing sports in high school.
And
so how do you give them structure after school?
Right. So there are other things to do besides sports. So you can, if you're on a stage, if you're in a practice room, if you're doing debate or speech or something like that. There's a whole bunch of activities you can do, but you want to make sure your kid's involved, like your guy is, several days a week after school.
Right.
I will say that I like the idea that your guy's playing basketball because I don't know a better way for kids to feel competent and to find sanctuary way off the grid than playing a sport and sweating.
Right.
You know, like if you want to keep a kid off my couch.
Getting yelled at by a coach.
Yes. Yeah. Put your kid in the hands of somebody who knows what they're doing.
Builds character.
Yes.
Definitely so. And the thing is, he's got practice, I want to say, tomorrow morning at 6:30 in the morning.
Yep.
So, you know, you got to have structure.
Right.
So he knows he's got to wake up at 6 o'clock. We got to get to school by 6:15. And, you know, he's going to have practice. He'll come home even though he has a day off. And he's got to get organized for Tuesday.
Absolutely. So he's busy. And so the idea of video games, well, that might be part of tomorrow, but it's not going to be all of tomorrow. For some families, that's the whole deal.
Dr. John Duffy is here. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. The text messages are pouring in. That's why I'm staring at the screen right now. We cannot talk to my daughter about school. She gets very upset and runs away. What can we do?
Yeah. So that is a very, very common issue in families. And what typically is happening in a situation like that, thank you for texting, is that the connection between you and your daughter is a little bit in the red. And so you want to have some positive interactions with her because she probably feels like the minute she sees you, she's going to get a lecture.
Right.
Or she's going to be told something she needs to do.
Yep.
So what kids tend to do, just like we did, is they're going to their room or they're heading out the door. They're going to find a way to avoid you or to appease you, but they're not going to do what you want them to do. But if you spend a lot of time just establishing a really positive, fun relationship with them, then they're going to heed your words when you need them to. You have some leverage.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you have none.
773 area code. Have your kid pick a place to volunteer. We try to volunteer. I mean, they have volunteer hours in high school, but we try to volunteer at different things just to show them how you should be volunteering and doing charity work.
There is absolutely not a remote downside to having your kid do volunteer work. And kids rise to this occasion. They will grumble about doing it. I've seen this 1,000 times. And once they do it, they come in and they'll tell me, it's amazing to see the look on these people's faces when I help them out. It's just so cool.
My son did that 2 weeks ago. Little Sisters of the Poor had to drive out to Palatine because my other sister works out there. Yeah. And I'm like, Charlie, you're going to love this. He's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. Well, guess what? He was there for 2.5 hours and he loved every minute of it. Because number one, you're volunteering. Number two, you're interacting with these elderly people that are so wise and they love to tell stories and they find energy when they see a teenager.
Absolutely.
So it helps everybody out.
Yep. Yep. It is a win-win-win all the way across the board. Right. Absolutely.
But it's getting them out the door. So how do you get them out the door?
So you only get a few. It's a great question.
It is.
And Pete, you only get a few parent cards to play
right.
once your kid hits the teen and tween years.
Okay.
This is one of them you want to play. So, you know, like you probably get three or four over the course of a few years where you can say, you know what? You're going to do this thing. I'm going to sign you up for the thing and you're going to go to the thing and we're not going to talk about it. This is one of those things.
we talk about embracing the suck. Sometimes you have to do things that you don't like.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right. Right. And if you call it that instead of like, you know, a long involved lecture, mm-hmm. just you're going to embrace the suck. Keep it nice and easy and simple. Your kid can at least wrap his brain around that.
Parenting the new teen in the age of anxiety. Dr. John Duffy is here. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about raising your teen because you had a teenager. Now, how old is your, son?
He is now no longer a teen. He's 24.
24.
Right.
But it probably had to be tough for you, and you probably found some things out. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Right.
Sure.
And I want to talk to you about trust issues. I want to talk to you about privacy issues. Do teens have privacy?
Great question.
Do they?
Yep.
And what are those boundaries? So more when we come back. It's 720 WGN. In studio with us, the name of his new book is called Parenting, the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, Dr. John Duffy. Two book signings. Give him a plug again.
Yeah. So I will be tomorrow at the Chicago Academy for the Performing Arts.
Okay.
That is at 1010 West Chicago. On Friday, I will be at the bookseller at 7 p.m., 4736 North Lincoln.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
So you're in Lincoln Square signing a book at 7 o'clock. It's done around 9?
It'll be done around 9.
So we could have some cocktails afterwards.
We absolutely could. Let us know where to meet you, Pete.
There's some great bars near the bookseller right there. Yeah, or we could walk over to the Davis Theater. Have you been to that restaurant?
I have. I love that restaurant, and I love that theater.
Yeah, that's a great area. Okay, good to know. Now you have a drinking buddy. Your son is 24. When he was going through his teen years, I mean, you're a therapist. He turned on you probably.
Well, we had moments. Not many. We got lucky. I mean, I was lucky enough to have witnessed parenting through so many families. So I got to learn from mistakes and trial and error and a lot of parents doing the right thing.
Right.
And so my wife and I were kind of able to navigate this pretty successfully. We had moments, but they were just moments. And the way we bounced back from them is we maintained that bank account. You know, we made sure that by and large, we were pretty good with him. So if he was a little short on homework, we could turn to him and say, hey, George, how about doing another half hour? You know, like study for a little bit longer.
And he listened.
By and large, he listened. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we all wonder if we're good parents.
We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the other side of the coin is I talk a lot about how kids are anxious. But the truth is we parents are anxious, too. We're worried about our kids being successful. There's 1,000 traps for kids to fall into now, way more than there used to be. Right. And so we are forever vigilant. And part of the reason we're drawn toward the lecture is we harbor this belief that if I say the words often enough, do not vape, do not juul, study a little bit more, you will get where you need to go. You know, somehow, some way, that's going to get through, right?
I laugh because we have this conversation with my son, Charlie, all the time. Are you drinking? Is there vaping going on? Because I know some of his friends got busted for vaping. I go, Charlie, it's around. He's like, yeah, Dad, but I don't do it. Because my father smoked for years, and my wife's father died of cancer because he was a chain smoker.
And you've talked to Charlie about this, yes?
Oh, yes.
So this happened in my family, too. And I encourage families, parents in particular, tell your kids your stories. Tell your kids the family stories. Because sometimes that context is what gets them thinking about their own behavior. You know, the lecture doesn't work very well, but context and stories tends to work.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of pressure.
It is. It is a lot of pressure. And part of the reason I wrote this book is it's like whack-a-mole. There are so many issues going on with kids today that you almost have to be a little versed in all of them in order to address them.
We have a lot of grandparents that are listening right now. How? Yeah. I mean, it's hard for them because you don't want to overstep your boundaries.
Right.
How did they parent or grandparent? How would they do it?
So what I love about grandparents and aunts and uncles as well is that you're not the parent, you're not the primary caregiver. So the animosity that sometimes happens within the house isn't happening with you.
Yeah.
So you have a little more play. You can just connect. And if you want to say, impress upon your grandkids every once in a while, hey, I really hope you don't do this, or I really hope you do head in this direction, or I really believe in you. You've got something special. And here's what I see in you.
Wow.
As grandparents, you get this kind of silence
yeah.
with your kid where they're like paying attention and listening to you, right? If you are open to that. So grandparents can have enormous, enormous weight in the self-worth and self-esteem and the belief in themselves in a child.
It's interesting that you say that. My sister-in-law, who is a school teacher in Wausau, Wisconsin, my wife's sister does that exact thing.
Is that right?
They have such a bond with, you know, Anne and Charlie together. It's such a big bond, and you nailed it right there.
Well, and as parents, you have to be willing to step back and let those relationships grow.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We love it.
Because they're big, yeah.
And Charlie will listen to Anne, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he might not listen to Dad Pete sometimes, right?
I mean, never.
That happens for all of us.
Let me tell you something. I do everything wrong. Everything I do is wrong, and I embarrass my son if I say hi to somebody.
I get it. Listen, that I think we're all in that boat to some extent.
I'm a very loud person, so when I drop my son off at school, I like to say hello to other kids that I know. Okay, and I did it the other day, and one was a senior, and I know his mother very, very well.
Huh?
And he's like, Dad, I can't believe you embarrassed me. I'm like, Charlie, I just said hello to so-and-so. He's like, you can't do that. You can't say hello to a senior. I'm a freshman.
The bar for embarrassment for a teenager
wow.
is exceptionally
That's
low.
It? Really? Just saying hi to somebody? I can't do that?
Yeah, absolutely mortifying. Life-ruining here.
How do you gain trust with a teenager?
You tell them a little bit about yourself. So I think if you tell your teenager a little bit of your story, hey, when I was your age, I struggled too. Don't tell them every success story you had. Let them know that you struggled as well if they're having a hard time.
Right.
And meet them where they are. Listen to their music with them, play with them, hang out with them, and don't tell them, you know, like, what do you listen to the rap music for? I listened to the Eagles and Springsteen when I was your age. You know, like, don't be 1,000 years old, you know?
This is exactly what we do. If we're driving anywhere, he gets 2 songs, I get 2 songs.
Genius. Love
but
that.
When I play my Springsteen or Rolling Stones or the Eagles to introduce him to the greatest music on the planet.
Right, of course.
He makes fun of me.
Of course.
He said, I can't listen to this. I go, you're going to have to listen to it. That's the give and take.
Right, yeah. Right. And I worked with one dad who upped that ante even further, and he said, okay, you pick a concert, and I'll pick a concert. And they would go together. And it was really enriching because you know how sometimes you listen to the radio and you get a feel for, okay, I don't think I like this artist. But you see somebody live, and usually you get a feel for them.
Sure.
You know, and somebody you might think, I would never like that. The energy of a live show, you know, it makes a big difference.
Have you been to a concert with your son? I'm sure you have.
Oh,
right?
I've been to dozens.
What was the first one? Do you remember?
The first one was Harry Connick Jr. at the Old Town School of Folk Music.
What?
Yes.
You're kidding.
No, I was taking guitar lessons there, and I heard somebody talking about, like, Harry Connick Jr. is going to play this tiny theater. I'm like, I could take my family to that. And I walked in, and I'm like, is this true? Can I buy tickets for this? And he sat there and watched Harry kind of, you know, riff on these New Orleans jazz threads and stuff. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Harry.
Yeah,
that's great. That's a family thing.
Oh, such a
But you're
family
right.
Thing.
I mean, Charlie's never been to a concert. I think that's next.
Yeah.
We have to go as a family.
It's time.
We almost took him to the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field, and it's too much.
It was big.
It was just, I mean, getting to anything at Soldier Field is the pain in the rear, but the Rolling Stones that night, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The first concert on that tour, I'm glad we didn't. Even though it would have been cool to say, hey, your first concert ever was the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field.
But if it's overwhelming, it might turn them off to the whole thing, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mick's mic went out during Gimme Shelter, which upset me.
That's upsetting. We'll work through that after the show.
I'm going to keep you for one more segment. Great. Because we have some text messages that we're going to get to, and I want to talk to you about privacy issues.
Excellent.
With our teenagers. Dr. John Duffy is here. Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety is the name of his book. Where can people go online and find you and hear about your book signing?
Right. So you can see all my events at drjohnduffy.com, and you can buy the book on Amazon or wherever good books are sold.
All right. More next at 720 WGN. Dr. John Duffy is here, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. Have you always done teenagers or family therapy?
I have. I kind of stumbled upon this about 25 years ago. I had an office up in Evanston, and I wanted to work with high-functioning adults, and my only referrals were coming from high school social workers, and I was working with troubled adolescents.
Oh, wow.
So, and I loved it. Turns out this was my wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is your wheelhouse. Yeah. A complete guide to your child's stressed, depressed, expanded, amazing adolescence. Our kids are stressed out.
Our kids are stressed out.
The peer pressure, how do kids have privacy? A teenager?
Yeah. It depends on the household.
Okay.
Maybe the question is, at what point do kids deserve privacy, right?
I mean,
because initially when your kids get on social media, for example.
Yes.
I always tell parents, you know, you get passwords. You get to look at anything they post or anything mm-hmm. they read,
yep.
but you have to let them know. It's not a secret. This isn't
right.
like sneaking a look at their diary. You have to let them know because there has to be trust in your relationship. And at some point, you have to back off that. Once they earn trust and your respect in that regard, you have to give them some space to prove themselves competent, resilient on their own. You cannot always police them.
Okay, we had a cyber expert on last week, and he said there's an app called Bark, BARK.US,
yep.
where you can look at your kid's phone.
Right.
And he said, tell your kid that you're going to be looking at their phone. If they have anything to hide, you'll find out about it.
And you absolutely will. Bark,
right.
Bark is one of the few things where even Snapchat, which is
right.
Social media designed to elude parents, you can find what your kid is posting and looking at. But I encourage parents not to over-police your kids either
right.
because there's trackers and portals and all sorts of ways
mm-hmm.
to track where your child is. We didn't grow up with any of that, and so we
no.
had to figure things out on
oh
our
gosh.
Own, right?
Oh, jeez. Absolutely we did.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. My mother had 12 children. Did
right.
she have time to police my social media if I had it? No.
Even if she had the portal for all 12 of you, it would have taken all day.
Jeez, she couldn't even keep up. So what about going through your child's room? Going through their drawers, everything. Can you do that?
I discourage it.
Okay.
Because chances are, with kids today, you're going to find something. And then that puts you in a particular dilemma, right? Because you have to decide... If you decide to say, hey, I found this vape in your room, or I found this diary in your room with this thing about what's going on in your life,
right.
suddenly you're saying, you have no privacy, or if I say you have privacy, I'm going to violate that. And your kid will turn that around on you and will not trust you and will find other ways to evade you. And kids spend an awful lot of time, I hate to say it, evading their parents.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, think about when you were a teen.
Of course.
We did that.
So 99% of it is pretty normal.
Right.
You want your kid to come to you when there's trouble. You know what I mean? So you want them not to be evasive when they're running into something where it's like, I could use a guide here.
So how do you get them to come to you and have the dialogue open and they know that you're a safe place?
Yeah. So one is to be overt, like at your family meeting tonight,
yep.
to sit down and say, hey, listen, we're not your enemies. We're your allies here. We're on Team Charlie, and we want you to win, right? So part of it is to be overt, but part of it is just hanging out with them. They'll get that feeling
right.
anyway, you know? So there's this idea hanging out there that you're not supposed to be your child's friend. Fine. I'll accept that, although not wholesale. But at least you want to be friendly with your child. By the time kids reach the teen years, too often parents create something that feels adversarial, and that does not serve you, right?
Right,
because then
right.
your kid is working around you all the time.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking notes as I go along here. I mean, what about non-electronic time for the entire family?
I love it.
So when do you suggest it?
So I like the idea that if there are people over, a good friend of mine, I learned this from her, but I've used it with a bunch of client families. Have a bowl at the front door with some candy in it. You put your phone in the bowl, you take a piece of candy.
Oh, is that great?
Right? Isn't that
yeah.
great? And then, you know, when you leave, you take your phone, grab another piece of candy. But all the phones stay in the bowl. And I've been there when kids are there. And adults, by the way, and everybody's making eye contact like right. You and I are right now. People are talking to each other. People are having fun, whereas otherwise they're just all staring at their phones. This is our natural inclination now.
Right. That's the first thing you do if you can't think of conversation. You look at your phone.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But if you take that away, it feels kind of old school, but you stop grousing about it pretty quickly because this is what we enjoy more. We actually do enjoy individual one-on-one contact way more than we enjoy staring at our phones. It's
Boy, a diversion. I love that.
Yeah.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, it's an anti-anxiety tactic, really.
Sure.
It doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't. No. I mean, go to an airport, look at what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Staring down at their phones.
And tapping their feet because they're a wreck.
773 area code, can you mention something about Snapchat? The fact that everything disappears is very disturbing for a parent.
Yes. So Snapchat is designed to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so what you want to do is monitor your kids' Snapchat or let them have Instagram or Facebook or some other social media that you can track before you let them have Snapchat. But don't wait too long because most kids end up texting each other through Snapchat. They send memes through Snapchat.
That's what they do now.
This is a big part of their social life, right?
Right, yeah.
So Charlie, if he sees something funny, he wants his buddy to see it.
Yep.
And he wants to send that to him. And they're missing out socially to some extent if they don't have Snapchat.
You know what Charlie said to me the other day is we're sending text messages. He's not responding because he communicates with his friends through Snapchat.
Right.
He's like, Dad, if you need something, call me.
Yeah.
I go, well, that's a great idea. Nobody picks up the phone anymore.
Well, I had a kid tell me recently, 16-year-old kid, and he's like, why do we call this a phone? Like, that's the last thing I do with this thing.
Nobody picks up the phone. We need to call more in 2020.
I think maybe that should be a resolution for us collectively.
Wow. 847 area code. I've been using Bark. We talked about Bark.us with my daughter for 3 years. And it's great. It's helped me address a bullying issue at one point. But more importantly, it gives us tons of points for discussion of issues that she faces.
I
highly recommend it.
I love that. I love the idea of using what's going on in your child's online life to spark conversation. Not lectures, but conversation.
Right.
You know, because if you ask your kid like, okay, I see you're talking about X here.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
Oh.
Kids are good teachers. They like to talk about what they know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of kids don't want to talk to their parents, but if you invite their friends over, the friends start talking.
Oh, you're always going to get friends to talk, right?
Yeah.
Be the cool parent. Make your house the cool place to hang out.
Right.
And talk to the friends. You will learn a lot.
It's interesting. We had this conversation with Charlie before school started. How can we be the cool house? Because we want kids to come here and have fun.
Yeah.
He said, get the Xbox in the basement, load the fridge in the basement, and people will show up. And it's true.
He's 100% right.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is an underrated quality. And you don't need to have the biggest house on the block.
Nope.
Ours is tiny. Mm-hmm. We had kids in and out of our house all the time. You really want to be that. You want to be plugged in with your kids and your kids' friends in that way.
God, it's a lot of pressure nowadays. Just not on the kids, but the parents, too.
So many variables to keep track of. Yeah. It really is.
And you want to get your kid into a good college, so they got to do well in high school, so you're putting pressure on yourself, and then you're putting pressure on your kid and the ACT, and it just doesn't end.
Oh, Pete just threw his pen on the table. But it's true that we have all these markers, and part of it is that our kids are part of our report card, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't mind the idea of having the Yale sticker in the back of our car, right? You know, I mean, that's part of what we're gunning for, because that like makes us look successful.
Charlie at a young age. By the way, Dr. John Duffy is in studio with us. Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety is the name of his book. At a young age, we started taking him to football games at Camp Randall because my wife graduated from UW.
No kidding.
So that's where he wants to go to college. And he's said it for years and years and years. Well, now he's in high school.
Right.
I'm like, Charlie, you got to keep your grade point average up to this if you want to get into Madison. He's like, okay. So now he's got the visual that he can work on for the next 4 years.
That is such great motivation.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've come across the website Naviance or if his advisor has suggested that. But I suggest looking at Naviance. So if your kid has a picture of a type of school or a specific school that they're interested in,
okay.
Naviance will give you a feel for GPA-wise, extracurricular-wise, and ACT-wise, what they need to get to that school. And that visual kind of clicks with kids immediately. Like,
right.
Oh, okay, I'm not close, so I got to kick it into gear. I'm only a sophomore, so I have some time,
yep.
But I got to get moving now.
Man, I feel like, and do you, I don't want to stress out my kid, but some people need a little more motivation, or some kids need a little more motivation. How do you put a fire under them when they're not doing well in a class?
Yeah. So
you've heard all these questions before.
Oh,
it's Pete, like, I've heard
these,
everything.
Oh, these are
it's
the
like,
best
hold on,
questions.
Let me, I got you. Don't worry.
So the best way to get a kid motivated, we think it's going to be like, I'm going to press my kid to do more homework because
yeah.
that's going to be good for them. And it is, but it usually doesn't work. If you get your kid involved in something that they're interested in, I worked with a kid recently. He started taking classes at Second City. He was getting D's before he started taking these classes.
Okay.
These classes took up time that could have gone to homework or could have gone to something else.
Right.
But somehow they gave him some faith in himself that ended up bleeding into his coursework, and his D's became B's. So busy kids actually do better
yeah,
than
structure,
idle kids.
Isn't it?
Structure,
yeah.
yep.
Damn, we got to keep our kids busy in high school, don't we?
That's one of the bottom lines here.
I know you specialize in adolescent kids, but as parents, one of the things that I said to my wife, I go, Charlie's in high school and he's going to watch how we interact together, and that's how he's going to form his relationships.
Yeah.
I feel like the things I say to my wife, she's like, you're nuts. I go, well, I have these experts on so we can learn as a couple.
Right.
But isn't that true? So if you're very affectionate with your spouse, your kid's going to see that.
Learned behavior. As much as your kid will tell you, I am not going to be like you, you are still the primary role model for your kids. There's no doubt about it. Your relationship is
yes.
the primary role relationship for your kids. No doubt. 100% right.
One of my words for 2020 is patience, that I need to step back. Because when I'm driving in the city, I got one hand on the horn and I'm always honking at people. I'm like, Charlie, you got to honk at people because you got to keep them honest. But as I start thinking about it, it's like, okay, I just need to dial it back a little bit when I'm around my kid.
Right. Right. It's really important because you want to match your kid's energy.
Yeah.
And you've got big energy, Pete, right? So
I do. Yeah.
I worked with a mom recently and she had this tidal wave of big energy. It was positive energy, but her kid was a boy. He was 13. He was very, very quiet and laid back, and she overwhelmed him.
Right.
And so my advice to her was, ooh, pick 75 words and take them out of your vocabulary for now and
yeah.
just say the 25% that matters, because he's getting overwhelmed
yeah.
with the number of words that are coming toward him.
Boy, you're right.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So if you can bring it way down at least part of the time and meet him where he is, then he'll hear you.
We're all bad parents.
Oh, it's doing fine. We're doing our best, Pete. We're working on it. We're getting there.
Any parting words for parents and grandparents that are listening right now that have teenagers in their life?
Yeah, two things.
Okay.
One is, make sure you take care of yourself and don't be too hard on yourself, especially in light of our conversation. It makes it sound like we're all doing a terrible job. But really, we all love our kids,
mm-hmm.
and we're all doing our best to do well by them. So
give
yourself a break. The other is, give yourself time to enjoy your kids. This might seem superfluous, but it's the most important thing. It really is. If you hang out and enjoy them and they see that, they see you light up,
yeah.
that means everything, Pete, everything. And then you gain all sorts of connections in other ways and they hear you.
Sometimes a kid doesn't want to get in the car and go somewhere for family time.
Of course.
How do you motivate them?
Well, that's where you play the parent card. Because
get in the car. Trust me, it's
going
to be
do this.
Fun.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I love it. Dr. John Duffy, give your website so people can stop by your book signing.
Yeah, drjohnduffy.com.
You're the best. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Pete.
It's good to see you. We'll have you back again.
I can't wait.
Quick break, and we'll talk to Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy. Today is the number one online dating day, and she is going to help you. That's coming up next on 720 WGN.